This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Feeling very unwelcome today. I was supposed to be at...
Here we go. You are unbelievable. You just cannot... You twist and
Here's
turn...
Here's what happened. Limits, you witnessed,
You twist and turn everything into a pretzel, is what you do.
Here's what happened. And Limits was a first-hand witness, and so was Tyler Kennedy, I might add, although he appeared to be reading his phone. I was supposed to be at Bowser Chevy this morning in the studio they have built for us. For some reason, our boss said last night, no Bowser tomorrow. You know, we'll do it again next week, whatever. Nobody told Bob. So when I walked in today, the disappointment was palpable. And he said very sadly, I thought you were at Bowser today. Did you not witness that? Was I the only one who saw
it? Please, Austin, be an arbitrator here. I thought you were. All I said was what you sent me yesterday. You know, you sent a group text.
Yep.
And I said, are you going to be Bowser, blah, blah, blah. I said, no, I can't, but Joe will be there. I'll be here. That's how I left it. I had no idea you walked into the studio today mysteriously.
Without his editorializing, what did you witness this morning?
Well, I think Bob was more so caught off guard than anything. It was like, oh, Joe, you're here.
Right. That's okay. All that was.
Joe been the last 2 weeks? Where have you been the last 2.5 weeks?
What do you mean?
Well, last week he came for half a show.
Thank you, Tyler. Thank you very much. Judge Kennedy has just spoken.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Supreme Court Justice. All right. Okay, Bob. We'll get over that quickly. How are you?
I'm fine. You're I'm worried about.
Well,
because
even the way that he relayed it, it wasn't exactly, hey, I thought you were a Bowser. Glad you're here today. Aren't you supposed to be at Bowser?
Yeah, exactly. I was a little surprised.
Thought I had a day to myself here in the studio.
It's wonderful to see you, Joe.
And then this jackass walks in.
Beautiful in all your new golf attire.
You like the haircut?
Yeah, I like the haircut.
Tyler, you like it?
Yeah, not many left, but yeah, I like it.
I asked the guy at, where was I, Sport Clips or Super Clips? I don't know where I was. I said, is that salvageable with can I regenerate hair? Is this possible?
Yeah.
And it was actually a woman. She said, not really. There's not a lot left, but you have enough left to give it a shot. Did we talk about this before? Robbie Brown tried this.
Yeah, Robbie Brown.
Yeah.
And it went tragically wrong.
But it looked like if you had a drone flying overhead, it would look like a cornfield.
Right,
you
know? Exactly.
So it didn't look natural.
But I guess there's new guys that do it. Like usually everyone's hair is thick on the side, right?
Right.
There's a guy actually in Neverwood that does it. It's actually a machine. You just sit there and it grabs all the hair from the back of your head and puts it into your spots.
Like underneath it does that? It pushes it underneath the scalp transplant happens?
Yeah, it's almost like think of like getting a tattoo. It does that with hair.
Should I do it, Bob?
No.
Or is it too risky?
No, it's too risky. Did you see if you were watching on YouTube, you saw Joe come in here while on the air, took what looked like a condom and put it over the microphone. I don't know what you were doing, trying to get off the germs. You worry about germs, or you're going to worry about someone going into your head and moving your scalp around. Come on, you're not doing that.
I know. I'm trying to picture exactly how that works, but then it has to pop. If you do it under the scalp, then the new hair in the new spot has to pop out of the scalp in holes that have been closed, like if you had your ear pierced and it closed.
No, I think they grab like full strands of hair and put the root into your scalp.
Oh my.
Use like little needles.
I'm not doing that. The word needles takes it all.
That's what
to
I mean. Why
level.
Would you even yeah. consider something like that?
I can't believe that we can send somebody to Mars on a flight. We can clone human beings. AI is here, and you can't put hair back on my head.
Even they say, I think it's from shampoo. They said like there's certain shampoos that kill your hair.
I knew that was going to happen.
I use shampoo. It hasn't.
Bob, how's your hair doing?
He's got a.
I have a hat on. That's why it's all messed up today.
But so you have a thick head of hair.
It's okay for my age.
You know, Tyler, are you at all concerned? Your hair looks great. I mean, it's naturally curly.
It's got that curly hair.
But it seems to be a little bit lessened.
Take it easy. Take it easy.
From your playing days. Just a little up top.
He still goes in the corner,
I know.
Joe.
It's like, you know, the little, what's this called right here?
Your forehead.
No, the temples.
Yeah, no. But like right up here, I'm starting to lose it. And my dad's bald too.
Oh boy.
Yeah, I know. I need a lot of hair. This snow will look huge if I shave my head.
So would you do this procedure?
If I kept doing TV, I think I would. But they say like you got to lay down for a week because your like head is swollen.
See, I am not.
Could
you imagine
that.
Joe Starkey lying in bed wondering who just drilled stuff into my head and what it would do to me? Come on, you're not doing it.
There's a couple guys I know did it though,
and it worked.
Yeah, you'd be surprised the guys that did. I don't want to. Tell you off air, but
okay,
they look pretty good.
See, my other concern is like Bill Cowher when he got new teeth. It didn't look like his normal teeth. They were white and everything, and he's great on TV.
Yeah,
but does the new hair on these friends of yours, does it look normal or does it look like someone went up and
you'd be surprised
planted hair
you
on them? Yeah,
how expensive? That's the next thing.
Ooh, it's like you're talking. I think it's like $10,000.
Can you treat me to it, Bob?
Sure, I'd love to treat you since I missed.
This guy
labeled you when you walked into the studio here today.
Dr. Hyland. Borky and those guys do a commercial for him.
Mm.
And he's willing to make deals. We will all do it together.
I don't think Bob needs it. That's the problem.
Lucky.
Right now, not so much, but it will eventually. And by the way, Rex Ryan has the biggest chiclets of anyone. If you saw his smile, I mean, it's nice and everything, but you know what it is.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Did you see the new Bob Dylan movie yet, Bob?
Mm.
The woman who played Joan Baez got fake teeth put over her real teeth so that she could mimic the way Joan Baez looked. It's unbelievable how realistic it is what they can do. That's what I'm talking about. Why can't this be easier? That's my question. Why can't it be easy?
There probably is a way. It's just expensive.
What did they say? Sorry, Bob, I cut you off.
No, I'm just trying to
figure out. I'm glad you did.
No.
Sorry. There we go.
There was like, you know, you look at their Kardashians, it's like, you're not ugly, you're just poor. You know, like,
right. Yeah, I mean, everything is bought. It's store bought everything. It's just ridiculous. Yeah. If you don't have the money, you can't play that game. So you don't want to do that anyway. And there he goes again. You took off your cover.
Wow.
You replaced your cover.
Because Crowley, who based on this microphone and him not cleaning around here, gave me
COVID
one time.
Are you suggesting that someone from West Virginia doesn't take care of his...
I didn't say
that.
Is that
what you're suggesting? 13-9.
Wow.
13-9.
Wow.
Bob, is he a germaphobe?
Oh, is he a germaphobe?
Did you have germaphobes in the locker room? Were there guys like that? Yes, I am, by the way. Right, Bob?
Yes.
Yeah. Everyone that's a germaphobe is always sick.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. You're better off just to battle a little bit. You know, you got to
get your immune system up. Let it all come into you and fight it.
Oh, yeah.
That's what you got to do.
I was way ahead of COVID paranoia. I was cleaning this whole thing meticulously with these handy wipes in 2013.
Yeah, you were just sick 2 weeks ago. No?
I know. Now I've had it three times.
Yeah, well.
Once because of
Stop washing your hands. That's the key.
I know. I probably should, but now I can't. How are you? How are you, Bob?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Can I please introduce our guest who's already been introduced, but I like to do it my way.
Yes, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the microphone. It's time for Tyler Kennedy.
Yeah, baby. He'll be here till 11 o'clock. He leads off, bats lead off for us every Thursday. City Limits to our left. What do you think of him so far, Tyler? Have you guys developed any sort of friendship?
Flat tire City Limits. I like him.
Won't you, Ken?
We're going on a field trip tonight, I might add.
Ooh.
City Limits and I going to the Robert Morris game. Who's driving? Bob?
I think we're driving separate because I have another engagement afterwards.
Wow. Busy.
I mean, what's the point of going somewhere with a friend on a bonding trip?
Yeah, you're supposed to, after
separately?
You're done, you're supposed to go out someplace, get
this
a beverage, and discuss what you just watched.
Joe can join.
With who?
I'm supposed to meet George Michalowski after the game.
Absolutely. Thank you. Well, I mean, you didn't invite me in the first place. This feels like a forced invite.
It is.
I'd love to meet George.
You'll meet him tonight at the game. He's working the game.
Is Doran going?
Potentially.
Bob, would you like to go? Tyler, anybody else for the Robert Morris game tonight?
Cassidy Wood from our station will be there covering that. I'll be back in the studio. We do a sports call. We'll talk about that game, which they better win. I think they can win, even though they've lost to Wright State this year. Kind of a weird matchup that way.
Tyler's just silent. He has no interest in the Robert Morris game.
We're burying the lead here. There was a lot of activity in Tyler's lane.
Honestly, I'm like,
let's go to that. Let's go to the first of perhaps other dominoes to fall here. Michael Bunting, we hardly knew ye. He's packaged off to Nashville, and the intriguing player coming back is not Luke Shen. For all we know, he'll be on his way out again, although...
That's what I thought.
Kyle
he's
Dubas
a flip
said
guy.
He's, you know, part of this process, whatever this process is. I don't really know. I haven't figured it out yet. Tommy Novak. So what do you think of this deal? What do you think of Novak? And what do you think is next, Tyler Kennedy?
Well, one, I was surprised they got rid of Bunting. I like Bunting. I like kind of what he brought. He was kind of like a Hornquist, a little rat out there that we kind of needed, and I liked him on the power play. So, and he's young. I liked him, and I was surprised they trade him for Novak, who's a centerman. You know, we already have Gino, Sid, then the third line, but I'm thinking if he can jump up to the second line, they trade Raquel, and Gino plays with Sid for the rest of the year.
But I like that. I hadn't thought you're playing chess here. I'm playing checkers.
Yeah, and I think what I, you know, one thing. What's the biggest thing? Why they're scoring so many goals? We haven't had someone being able to like clear someone out in front of the net and like fight and play hockey at the same time. And that's what Shen does. I know you guys are saying it's a pit stop, but I think he fills a role that the Penguins don't have. I don't think he's going to be like, think of Graves with an edge that finishes checks, that'll fight a guy like.
So in other words, 1 point in 46 games, but with an edge.
Yeah.
I mean, I think a little bit more than that. But, yeah.
But what drove me nuts, when they're playing Boston, and they have Zadorov going after Sid and Gino, and just playing that, and the Penguins didn't have an answer for it. When you had a guy like Shen, from my experience, is going to jump off the bench and throttle this guy. Shen throws both hands, very, very tough.
Yeah.
I fought him my first year.
You did?
What? Yeah, I fought him my first year.
How did that lead up to?
Oh, my God. He absolutely beat the wheels off me. But it was in Toronto. He took a heavy run at Gino. This is when he was younger. Like, he hit like a truck. He hit Evgeny Malkin so hard against the wall. I was playing so bad. And then there was a line change. And I ran right into him. I kind of like I wasn't playing good. And I knew Terry needed me to do something. So he was skating off and I was going on. And I
oh
ran.
Oh my God. And I'm watching it, Tyler.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm watching it right now.
And I ran into him. And then the scuffle started. And guess who I grab in the scuffle? I got paired up with Dominic Moore. My eyes lit up because I knew I can beat him up. Like, you know, when you grab, I was like, this is perfect. And then I look over and Max Talbot had Luke Shen, and they were like kind of like holding each other, scruffling a little bit. Didn't Max Talbot let go of Shen, and then Shen broke away, and then I had to break away from Dominic Moore, and then we end up fighting, but I end up falling right away. He was so strong. He actually picked me up and he was like, hey, we're not done, kid. You know, he picked me up and he just started throwing. But like, he never caught me with any, but he was a tough guy, you know. And like,
look at you. Look at you in this. This is one of the most incredible experiences I've had on this station, because I'm watching this unfold and you have a photographic memory of it right now. It says Tyler Kennedy versus Luke Shen from January of 2009. And it's unfolding exactly as you said it. Where Max Talbot lets go of Shen and skates away, and in comes Tyler. You throw your helmet, you throw your gloves, and here we go. I give you a lot of credit for that, man. You threw the first punch here.
So Terrian's reaction to you was what?
Darian loved it. Loved every minute. Like, he came up. So I end up getting suspended because I left the bench because the puck hasn't dropped for the next shift.
But you were making a change, though, right?
Yeah, but it was after a whistle. It was okay. After a whistle. So I was coming on, and then so I got suspended for a game. But Tarion loved it. He's like, oh, that's exactly what we needed at the time. And I'm like, oh, you want to pay my, you know, my $5,000 I just lost for getting suspended? He didn't, you know, pick up the bill. But
keep talking, Tyler. Yeah. I'm going to show Bob briefly. You went down to the ice and jumped back up like a jack-in-the-box and kept punching.
He picked me up. I knew if I stayed down there, the right hand was coming hard, you know. But, like, he probably had 50 pounds on me. I was, like, probably 180 at the time, and I knew he can fight. But whenever I went into fights, I always – at a young age, I always knew if I started throwing first.
What happened to Talbot there?
Look at this. Talbot just went away.
You wouldn't believe it. But again, like, when I was growing up, my parents always said, when you go to fight someone, you always throw the first four or five punches first. Because when someone's getting punched, they're not swinging. They're trying to hang on. So I had always come into my fights literally throwing like three or four right hand punches as hard as I could for the fences, and then I would figure it out from there. But my parents always kind of taught me, like, again, when you're getting punched, when you see the punches coming, you're trying to scramble and trying to back off. Mm-hmm. And then
on the offensive, right?
Yeah, you always go on the offense. And then all I would do, this is kind of my game plan when I fought, I'd always throw a bunch of punches right off the bat. And usually I was outpowered by about mid-fight, and then I learned how to trip myself. And then you watch all my fights. Someone was always on top of me, but I always threw more punches than them. And I knew I was very good at knowing when the tide was changing. When I knew, okay, he's got his balance, he's starting to throw, I would just grab and fall, and then the fight was over. You know,
he looked like a crazed man out there, Luke Shen. I mean,
he's tough.
Yeah, this is unbelievable, Tyler.
Yeah.
On your way – first of all, you're down on your back for a second. Then you turn over like a puppy or something. But as you're getting up, you throw a right hand. And I think you connected with that right hand.
Yeah, I might have hit him with one. I remember, I think Matt Cook goes, oh, you look like Bambi. I'm like, Matt, you're the one that should be fighting this guy. You're the one that's got 40 pounds. But, like, whatever. You know, again, it's all about, you never lose a fight when you show up. That's what
I'll tell you what. In all honesty, says. I long for the days when the Penguins had guys like you on their team.
Yeah.
Well, it's entertaining, you know, like even Max.
But it's necessary in that game. Oh. You have to have it. Yeah, you haven't had it.
And I guess Bunting had a little bit of that. But this is unbelievable. Look at Miroslav Shetan just sitting there watching the whole thing happen.
He's very quiet, that guy. He's going on, but he was awesome.
He appears in the screen late in the fight, Bob. He has a front row seat.
Yeah. I'm surprised Talbot kind of just deferred to you. He saw.
Oh, dude.
Now, did you call him off, or how did that work? Because it looked like Talbot was about to go with Shen, and the next thing you know, he veers right, and you come in.
Yeah, honestly, like, I don't know what he was thinking, and I was like, Max, you had your guy, I had my guy. And he's like, I think Max is like, I ain't fighting that guy. I didn't run into him. But, like, it was weird because we, like, connected eyes, and he might have told Max, like, let him go. And then once he let him go, You're in. You're stepping into the ring.
You're in no man's land at that point.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
You have to respond.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You know what the other thing is here? The way you whip down your helmet first, then he responds to that by taking off his helmet. That's incredible,
Tyler
Bob.
He sent a message with the helmet.
He did.
He threw it to the ice surface.
Oh, yeah.
With authority.
Yeah. You're right.
And then
you pulled up your sleeves in another little move.
Yeah, you know, I used to watch quite a few fights just from junior and stuff. And, like, I've seen enough guys fight. Like, when I was, like, I had an older brother, too. Like, when I was fighting, like, I was trying to kill the guy. You know, that was, like, I was fighting to try to hurt him. Because I knew I was always, like, he's going to hurt me, you know. But even at the end of my career, I would start taking my gear off. I think it was Avery. Or I watched someone my first 2 years, and they take their elbow pads. Actually, sorry, it was a guy from my hometown of Sault Ste. Marie, and he said, hey, watch my fights. Watch, what do I do right off the bat? And I go, oh, you take your elbow pads off. He goes, yeah. Then he can't hold my arms, and my jersey's looser, and then I can throw, a lot smoother. So as soon as I always fought, like you watch, again, a lot of my fights, I take my elbow pads off so my arm's a lot looser.
Tremendous.
Yeah.
Well, what do you know about Novak?
Nothing.
Yeah.
I like him. I've watched enough to see that he's a company. He's like sixth leading scorer on their team the last 2 years, 88 points. But he goes to the net hard. He's 27. He makes less money than Bunting. I guess if you want to get younger and cheaper in terms of or more salary room to maneuver, that's a good guy. I just, like you said, though, where do you put him? He's a center.
Like, yeah. Again, unless they're, like, I would think there'd be fireworks for us at the deadline. I would think things are going to start heating up, like, a lot for the Penguins, and they need to make moves to get some excitement back in the team, and they can't just sit there. But if they are going to bring a centerman, I would think, especially, how many points do you have? 88?
In two years, 44 on average per year.
Yeah, and like he's a like a bottom second line, top third line guy with those kind of points. But maybe with more opportunity, you know, you push Gino to the right wing of Sid so those two are happy, they can play together, and then you move them up. But again, I would have traded someone else besides I like Bunting. I thought he'd bring like the next generation of like edge to him. You know, and you're going to have him for a while. And he's like Kyle's boy. He played with Kyle in Sault Ste. Marie in the OHL. He went to the
right.
He went to Toronto, and Kyle kind of brang him up from the AHL. Like, I don't think Bunting was like a draft pick. He brought him up as an undrafted player, and he ended up sticking. So I'm surprised he made that trade. There's got to be something else going on.
Everybody who's reviewing this trade says it's pretty odd from both sides, but that the Penguins probably have a slight win on pretty non-standout players here. You know what I mean?
The best is reading the comments. The comments are like, that's a weird way to spell Carlson. You know, like the Carlsons, you can go all day with them. It's like, we're good. You can punch us into the playoffs now after this trade. You know, so I love reading the comments.
They're great.
You know, these guys, they're witty behind the...
So what happens next? Does Raquel get dealt? Does Carlson get dealt?
I would love to figure out a way to get Carlson out just because the way he plays and it's not helping. It's hurting.
A lot.
Yeah, it is. and so if you can – the problem is that contract. What do you do? You're going to have to eat a lot of it. But that could be okay. If you know, it saves you $4 million, $5 million if you could take 50%. I don't know how that works. Is there a team that needs a Carlson for a point man of a power play? I don't know. Maybe there is. Maybe there's a team that's, you know, desperate for that.
I wonder if you're like, when you are talking to teams, it's like, hey, just tell them you're just going to play power play minutes. 5-on-5, you're not really going to play. You're going to be our power play guy. But then you look at his price tag, and they're going to be like, well, you're going to have to eat for this, you know, the 10, you know, and that's like even a $6 million price tag for him. With the year he's having is like almost overpaid, right? Like, just and I think like the giveaways are like they are like
legendary.
Have you ever seen one like the other day?
Oh, ooh,
a blind pass leads to a goal with 0.1 seconds left.
That was like, you know, you imagine how mad Gino was trying to back check that.
Well, he was flat footed to begin with. He couldn't have done it. I give the Matthew Nice kid a credit because he must have known that Carlson is in a position where he would make a stupid play like that.
Yeah.
Because he knew he went right for the – he knew it was coming.
And like, you know, understanding where he was at the clock, knowing he had to get the shot off and he buried it. But, like, again, it's like it wouldn't be bad to stop that puck. Where's the goalie? Like –
that's true.
You know, like
I could say that about a lot of goals.
Bail a guy out for once, you know, bail him out to like give him a little life. Because that, like, talk about taking the wind out of your sails going in between intermissions. Like, that's got to feel bad. But, like,
just given one up with a minute left. You thought that was bad enough.
Right. Yeah, the tables turned so quick that, like, even when you watch the bench now, Sully is like, past being frustrated.
The way that he looked at Quinn right after that was I don't even know how to describe the
when he crosses his hands, right, and he looks and he just taking looks at guys. Like, I love watching, you know, when guys go to the box, and I always look at the coach because you can tell his eyes, if eyes can kill, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what he does. Sully looks, he leans back on the glass, and his eye, he's just staring the guy down or staring at the coach. But, like, he's got to be having a lot of conversations with Carlson, I would think, like, every day. But if they're not getting through to him, what do? You know?
Well, Carlson was asked about this. And by the way, Tyler Kennedy, Stanley Cup champion, brought to you by the certified elder law attorneys of Julian Gray Associates. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And off the top, brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding. Just added a guest, David DeCastro, is going to talk about his marijuana dispensary on McKnight Road.
How about
at 11:30. This is incredible.
Drink? Well, right? Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of money to be made, and he's going to jump into that business.
Oh, top of the hour. Okay, 11 o'clock. Yeah, I want to ask him about the different flavors you can get, Bob.
We're all going to try to do a radio show.
We should have him in.
Yeah.
Bob, would you smoke if he came in?
No, I'm not doing
Elon
that.
Musk.
I feel like I walk through town and I get high automatically because there's so much of it around. I don't.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Tyler, I interrupted you there. What were you saying? Or what was I asking? Now I can't remember.
We were talking about Carlson.
Carlson. Oh, you're going to read
his comments?
Oh, yeah.
No, I was going to ask you about Carlson. His comments after the game where he seemed to say nobody's asked me to move, to waive my no movement clause, but I'll take a stance if and when they do. Do you get the idea that he would go anywhere, or he has kids, I know. Yeah. Would he just as soon stay here? Like, why wouldn't a guy want to go for a couple months and go chase a cup somewhere? I don't get it.
One, you don't get paid in playoffs, right? And he's probably like, oh, I got 19 games here, and then I got, you know, a four-month break. But the only way I think you're going to get him out of here, if you put him in a place where there's sun. I think he's a guy that wants to golf a lot. He's a guy that, like, enjoys nice weather. That's why I'm surprised he left San Jose, but I think they just got sick of him and just, you know. But he ain't going to no Ottawa. He ain't going to Toronto. He ain't going to Winnipeg. He's not going anywhere Minnesota cold. You know, he's on the back end of his career.
How about L.A.?
He'd go to L.A. I think that's more his style. You know, like, out of the media a little bit. Like, I feel like, but he's the first guy I've seen. Like, I don't think the media affects him at all. Like, anything
he's got too much security, that's why. He could call the shots. You can call the shots, it doesn't matter what anyone says.
Yeah, and like, I think, like, when he looks back, it's going to be like, yeah, I stopped in Pittsburgh or whatever, and that's it. You know, like, I don't think he really dwells on much.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it, including defense.
But I mean, that's like a superpower sometimes, you know, because, like, if you don't really, like, I always felt like guys that, like, you can get underneath their skin, or you start reading what everyone's saying, you start playing better, you start, you know, squeezing the stick a little. I don't think none of that affects him.
So he just plays his game.
If it's good, it's good. If it's bad, it's bad.
And he doesn't necessarily worry about it if it's bad. He just shakes it off, and I'll get more points the next game. Because he seems to be more interested in that than he is going the other way.
Oh, yeah. Would you ever throw him up forward? I know they did with Brent Burns.
Thinking about this the other day and talking to somebody about that. He'd be better. He might be an unbelievable.
Yeah,
I don't know about that. He's not going to be willing to go back when he has to go back.
Well, at least you're already forward in that case.
At least he's stopping at the hash marks in his own end, though, you know, not going. But I remember when Brent Burns, he goes, it was like so nice because I can wheel and freewheel. And, like, forwards, you don't have to play that much positioning compared to D. D is all about angles and filling, you know, your gaps. Forward, especially as a center, you're, like, freewheeling around, finding open space. Like, I would try it. Like, what do you have to lose?
I agree. I totally agree with that.
Let him go. Let the reins off. You want the reins off here. We're putting you right wing. Don't put him with Sid, because Sid will be 10-second shift. Put him with, imagine him and Malkin. It might be a disaster, but
you got two of the best turnover machines.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It would be hard.
Carlson leads the NHL in giveaways, by the way.
I saw that.
And Gino, giveaway per game, I'd be willing to wager he's up there. Although he seems to have gotten better at that a little bit this year.
Yeah,
but I agree with you. I'd love to watch that. No, nothing else matters right now. They're done. Let's have a little fun.
Yeah, let's make it entertaining. Like, you know, like what I'm saying is, why win a couple games? Like, it doesn't help us for the future. You know, if we lose, we get to the bottom. We get a high, pretty high draft pick, which is like
could be one overall if you get in the lottery.
Yeah, right? And like that's kind of what we're probably is that the goal now? I'm pretty sure. You know, if you there's no sense trying to win 4 or 5 games for what?
Well, if you're going to do that, then I would be more inclined to see other guys
to keep
like Rutger
deep.
McGroarty come up here. Just I want to see some other young guys play, if that's the case.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
But I think he finds himself, Sullivan, in a tough position that way because he doesn't want to take away ice time for guys on his team right now and make it obvious. But it is obvious. So why not just give younger guys a chance?